Wow, you know, today we look back and we say, yeah, it really was Good Friday, or at least it all turned out good for us, right? I guess you could say it's a matter of perspective. You know, perspective really can change a lot of things. Hey, have you ever noticed maybe your kids when they were playing little league ball, baseball, basketball, whatever it might have been, at the end of the game, how they would always line up in a line, the two teams, and then they would walk in a line and they would face one another and they walk down the line giving each other the high five, and they would always say, good game. That's right. You showed up for your kids' little league games. Congratulations. Good game. But you know, you can always tell, based on how enthusiastically they said good game, who had won the game and who had not won the game, right? Because what is good is a matter of perspective. So back to Good Friday. You know, if you were to look and talk to the disciples, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to the other ladies who followed Jesus so closely, as they watched the events of that day, as they watched their Savior, their Master, the hope that they had hung life on, as they watched Him push through this mockery of a trial, falsely accused. He would be lied about, spat upon, beaten, ultimately whipped with the cat of nine tails. They would force Him to carry His cross up the hill of Golgotha. There they would nail Him in His hands and His feet to the cross and raise it up. And there He would hang for 6 long hours until He would finally die. And they would take His body down and they would lay it in a borrowed tomb. And if you were to ask those disciples that day, if you were to ask Mary that day, is this a Good Friday? Well, they would have had some adjectives to describe Friday. They would have said, this is the most horrible day of my life. The worst, not, you know, sometimes we say, this is almost the worst day, or this is, you know, close to the worst day. No, this was the worst day of their lives. It was a horrible day. It was a painful day. It was a day of agony and defeat. It was an unbelievably devastating day. Those were the words that they would use, but not good. It would not have been in their vocabulary that day. But today, we call it good because of perspective. You see, because we don't just look at Friday as a single day. We look at Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We look at the whole picture. We don't just see a Jesus Christ who was crucified, dead, and buried. We don't stop there. As a church, as the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say He was Jesus Christ who was crucified, dead, and buried. But hallelujah, He rose again on the third day. Yeah, that's the Savior that we serve. That's who we celebrate. And it's only because of that perspective that we can look back and call it Good Friday. So it's a matter of perspective, but that Good Friday was also a matter of choice. In fact, it was a lot of choices that were made that would lead up to the events of that Good Friday. First of all, there was the choice of God the Father, who would decide, what am I going to do with rebellious humanity that's turned against me and sinned against me? What will I do? And God had a choice. Will I just obliterate them, destroy them, send them all to hell where they deserve to go now? Or will I send my son Jesus to die on a cross in their place to pay the penalty for their sin? Aren't you glad God made the choice that He made that day? There was a choice of Jesus. You remember, He wrestled with that choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. There as He would pray, and He said, if this possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Aren't you glad He made the choice that He made that day? Then there was the choice of men like Judas who would choose to betray Jesus. There was the choice of men like Peter who would choose to deny Him, not once, but 3 times. There was the choice of the religious leaders of that day, out of their own jealousy and their own their own reasons, wanted to eliminate Jesus. And so they bring these false accusations against him. There was a choice of Pontius Pilate as he stands there knowing that he is in front of an innocent man. But what will he do with an innocent man? He had a choice that day. Will I set him free or not? And there was the choice of the crowd, of course. When offered the option, who do you choose, Barabbas or Jesus? The crowd that just days earlier had cried out, crucify, or no, cried out, and that day, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But now they change their tune, and their choice is crucify Jesus. I want to look at that choice with you just for the next few minutes, because the choice of the people that day did not end on that Good Friday. The choice of the people that day is a choice that every one of us is forced to make. What are we going to do with Jesus? I want you to look with me at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. I'm going to skip some verses, but I'm going to begin at verse 11 and go down to verse 26. And I'm reading from the New International Version today. Verse 11, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? You have said so, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony that they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. There's that choice. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah, Pilate asked. And they all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed, asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. And Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. I wish I had time to really delve into that. What a prophetic statement that they were making, and they really did not understand it. So then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. I want to draw your attention to the question posed to the crowd that day in verse 17, where Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? Or in other words, who do you choose, Jesus Barabbas or the other Jesus, Jesus the Messiah? You know, when I announced several weeks ago that I was going to be preaching on this message today, that our theme of Easter this year was the other Jesus, I raised a few eyebrows. I think I started a little heartburn, maybe. Some of you had wondered what's happened to our pastor. Has he gone off the deep end like some pastors have? And is he getting ready to be guilty of blasphemy? I want to assure you today that that is not my plan. In fact, the Apostle Paul recognized that there were already in the day of the early church people who were coming along claiming to be some other Jesus. In fact, listen to what Paul says to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than, there's this other Jesus, other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. And then he speaks even stronger to the Galatians when he says in Galatians 1 and 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Well, I promise you, I do not want to be under God's curse. I want to assure you that while the title may be just a little bit edgy, maybe just to kind of get some curiosity going, my message today is anything but blasphemy. I'm not introducing or promoting some new Jesus. We're not introducing some new religion, some new way of salvation. What I want to point out to you is the choice that you must make today if you have not already made it. The choice that this crowd had to make that day as Pilate stands before them and says, Who do you want? Who do you want released? Who do you choose? Is it going to be Jesus Barabbas, who represents the flesh, who represents the sinful nature, who represents all that is horrible about us, all the sins that we've ever done? He was a robber and a thief and a bad dude. He represents us. Do we choose that to be what our life is going to be built on? Or do you choose Jesus, the Messiah? Amen. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of the living God, Jesus the one who loves you so much that he came to the earth willingly and died on a cross and paid the penalty for your sin, but he rose again on the third day so that we might have life and everlasting life. Who was Jesus Barabbas? You know, if you read through the Gospels, you know that there are some stories in the Gospels that maybe only one of the writer tells. Sometimes there are stories that maybe a couple of the writers pick up on that particular story. Barabbas is actually mentioned in all four of the Gospels. In the book of John, John calls him a bandit. Luke refers to him as being one involved in a riot. Matthew says that Barabbas was a notorious prisoner. Mark tells us that he was a murderer and an insurrectionist. So clearly, Barabbas, you know, sometimes we say that Jesus, you know, was hung on a cross between two thieves, and Barabbas is not one of those. But we look at Barabbas as this murderer, this robber, this thief. We're trying to figure out who he is. Listen, I want to tell you, he was no common thief. He wasn't the guy that stole your TV in order to take care of his drug habit. That's not who this guy was. Barabbas was a bad dude. Some have suggested that he probably was one of the leaders of the Zealots, who were a group of Jewish people that day who did not like the fact that the Romans had come and were occupying their land. And so they were willing to do whatever it took, even violence, to try to overthrow and oust the Romans. And so it was that he had probably been arrested in one such a coup attempt. We don't really know a lot about Barabbas until this moment in time where his life intersects the life of Jesus. And it's in an unusual place, in an unusual way, because this is the day that we call Good Friday that up to this point had been anything but good. On this day, we know that Jesus is being railroaded by the Jewish authorities. And Pilate recognized it. He knew that there was nothing that Jesus had done that was where. He knew that these were false charges, bogus charges, just trying to do whatever they could, throw something at the wall and see if something sticks on Jesus. But nothing stuck, and Pilate knew that, and he's trying to figure out, Pilate is trying to figure out, how do I get out of this? I know he's an innocent man. My wife even had a dream, and she warned me, don't you do anything about this guy. What am I going to do? He's got this choice. What am I going to do with Jesus? And he hatched a plan. I know what I'll do. I know how I can save myself. I will put the decision on the people. It won't be mine, but I know the people. They'll do the right thing. Because I remember it was just last week, just a few days ago, when Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday on the donkey. And everybody's shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I mean, it was just a few days before that I heard about him raising Lazarus from the dead. This is a guy who healed the sick, who cast out demons, who brought hope wherever he went. Surely, if I give the choice to the people, and I'll make it a really drastic choice. On the one hand, I will offer them Barabbas, this heinous, horrible prisoner, this guy who's killed and robbed and done all kinds of horrible things. He's the blackest of the black. And here on the other side, here's Jesus, the whitest of the white, the purest of the pure, the holiest of the holy. Surely the people will make the right choice. But we know that they did not. And instead they cried, crucify him. Crucify Jesus. Release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. You know, the release of Barabbas on that day, it's just an amazing thing. But let's go back to, again, who was Barabbas? The very name Barabbas. You see, it's actually a compound word there. Bar, Abba. Anybody recognize the name Abba? Father, yeah. And Bar literally means son of. Remember that Peter was called Simon Bar Jonah? In other words, he's Simon, the son of Jonah. And so here we are introduced. Matthew introduces, he picks up this manuscript that carries a fuller name. A lot of times we just call him Barabbas, but Matthew picks up, he was Jesus Barabbas. He was Jesus, son of Abba. Jesus, son of Father. You know, the distinction could not be more clear in the spiritual decision that was being posed by Pilate that day. Who do you choose? Who will live and who will die? Who will be your Lord and who do you reject? Will you reject Jesus, son of the Father? And if we would take that back farther, we're talking about son of the fleshly man. If we take it back even farther, we can go back to the father of us, all humanity, Adam. Here is Barabbas representing the son of humanity, representing the fleshly, sinful nature. His father had rebelled against God in disobedience, even as he now continues to rebel against the Roman government in disobedience. He is Barabbas. He is this sinful nature. He is the man who pleases himself, and he really doesn't care who he steps on in order to get his own way. If I've got to rebel, then I'll rebel. If somebody dies in the process, well then, so be it, because I'm going to do what I think is right in my own eyes. That was Jesus Barabbas. But then we're given the other Jesus. Jesus was called the Messiah. Jesus who is the Christ. Jesus who is not the son just of Adam, but he is the son of the living God. Jesus the Christ, Jesus who loves us, Jesus who wants us to have eternal life, Jesus who is willing to lay down his own life. In fact, he says, I willingly lay it down. No man takes it from me. That is the choice that the crowd had that day. And unfortunately, they chose Barabbas. My prayer today is that you would choose the other Jesus, who is the only Jesus who can wash away our sin, who is the only Jesus who can give us everlasting life. life. That's the choice that this Resurrection Sunday brings to us today. It's the choice that we all must make. And in some regard, let me just twist it a little bit more. We are all Barabbas. We are all the son of Adam. We are all the son of the flesh. We are all the one who has turned our own way. We are the one who has rejected God. We are the ones whose sin places us in a position where we deserve to die. We are Barabbas. Barabbas was released that day, not through any doing of his own, but through the sacrifice of a lamb, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, a substitutionary lamb who died in his place. And if we're believers today, if we're born again children of God, then our Barabbas nature has been nailed to a cross because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we have the hope of everlasting life. Whatever happened to Barabbas? The Bible doesn't say. Secular history gives us no clue either. We don't know. Once he was released, did he join back up with the old gang? Did he fall right back into the same old sinful way that he had already been living? Did he keep on doing